that, let's take a brain break. A little brain break. Did you take care of it? Okay. Let's get into my favorite part of the training. Here we go, the subtle art of smashing objections. The subtle art of smashing objections. Let's get to it. Can you all see me? Can you see my video? Because I don't see me. Can you all see me? All right, very good. I don't see me. Hey, you want to take NECA out of here? No, there's a spray. Forgive me, guys. NECA left a gift. There's a spray there. Yeah, just spray that in the box. Okay. All right, guys. Are you ready to get to the most fun part of the training today? Who's ready to get to the most fun part of the training today? Say, F yeah. F yeah, you're ready to get to the most fun part of the training. Here's where we get into the real fun. I promise you I would deliver. And here we go. This is going to be the most fun. Now, I teach five different ways to destroy objections. As you decide for yourself in your own way that makes sense for you, that you want to continue learning with me. And I'm not sure in which ways that'll continue to grow as we continue to learn together today. But as it's taking place, this is the most fun thing you can do. There are five ways to smash objections. This is my favorite way. This is my favorite way to smash objections. So here we go. Let me teach you the inner game of smashing objections. There's some rules. And let me tell you a story. In order to unpack this for you, it's story time. So who wants a story? Say, I'm ready for story time. Are you ready for story time? Say, I'm ready for story time. It's story time. It's story time. Okay, children. It's story time. Okay. So as I said, I used to be a dating coach. Many years ago, I had a VIP client. He paid me a good chunk of change, or he invested in myself. You never pay me. You just invest in yourself. So we went out to a restaurant, and the restaurant had a lounge area. It's what they used to call a meat market. Terrible phrase, but that's what it was, essentially. And this guy struck out terribly. It was humiliating. I felt bad. And the longer the night went on, the worse he got. I was just cringing. He really was taking a terrible beating. He was taking a terrible beating. And finally, I said, we need to get out of here. It's like 1 a.m. Now follow the story. It was about 1 a.m. And we were waiting for our cab. Back then, there was no Uber. There were only cabs. And I saw a lovely lady waiting across the driveway. I said, oh, look, there's a lovely lady waiting for her cab at the end of the night. Now, for some reason, guys and gals, it went in the wrong way. And she was furious, and she proceeded to swear at me. She turned red in the face. She told me to do things with myself that were anatomically impossible. She told me to do things with dead relatives. It was ugly. Now, my student got red in the face. You ever see someone so angry the veins bulge out in their forehead? He got ready to charge her. I put my arm out. I clotheslined him. I said, no. She can do whatever she wants. She can decide wherever she comes from. We come from where we decide to. We decide where we're going to come from. Look at her. She's someone's daughter. She's someone's sister. She's someone's best friend. Somewhere, she's deeply loved. Now, There is a moment of confusion on her face, and then she burst into tears. She came running over to me and wept and wept and said, "Thank you. I love you. No one has ever showed me so much love. I'm so sorry for the things I said about you. It was never about you. It's just the guys were saying the filthiest, rudest things to me all night. They were grabbing my butt. Thank you so much. What's your name?" I said, "Mr. Wonderful. Here's our cab. I got to go." So what's the point of that story? Well, first of all, I never took it personally. How many times, let me ask you guys and gals out there, how many times have you heard no, or the person didn't sign up, or whatever it was, or they picked someone else, and you took it personally? Hell yeah in the chat window if you've ever taken no, or a rejection, or a deal falling through, if you ever took it personally. Anyone else ever take it personally? Come on. Yep, Colleen, take it personally. Dennis. And you and I, Victor, yep. David, of course. This is my sister, Karen, up until now. So here's the first rule. The first rule is, it's never about you. The second thing is, I didn't make it about her. I didn't think, oh, she's a bitch, she's a horrible person. I just saw a person in pain. And I know when people are in pain, it's much more comfortable to get angry because people don't want to be at effect. They want to be at cause. And when you're angry, well, you have the illusion of being at cause. At least you're doing something. Anger gives you the illusion of being at cause. Anger gives the illusion of being in control. But in fact, you're not in control at all. So I didn't make it about them. I didn't take them personally. I know you've heard don't take it personally, but you probably never heard don't take them personally. It's not about them. So it's not about you. It's not about them. Here's the other thing. Never take your prospect's first negative responses written in stone. It's almost always just a reflection of what they're thinking, feeling, believing in that moment. It's almost always subject to change. Look, guys and gals, here's something that will challenge your belief in free will. 90% of the time, people walk around on autopilot. 90% of the time, what we think are our choices, what we think is coming from our best, is autopilot. It's a default response. It's a default response. So I want you also to remember, all decisions are state dependent. That means if someone's happy, they're going to make a different decision than if they're angry, if they're bored. When you interrupt their state, you gain the power to shift the decision and drive the behavior. Next one, any objection is just a cry for help to make better decisions. Let's say that together. One, two, three, ready? Any objection is just a cry for help to make better decisions. Any objection is just a cry for help to make better decisions. Dennis says, wow. Here's the next one. This one's going to blow your mind. You're a decision service technician. Some people just aren't ready for servicing or too broken or broke to benefit from it. How would you feel better about doing selling as you now begin to recognize you're a decision service technician? You're a decision service technician. Say it now and say it loud. I'm a decision service technician and I'm proud. Isn't that a great reframe? I'm a decision service technician. I'm going to serve people in making better decisions today. Not I've got to go make calls. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to hit my goals. I'm going to enjoy and make money helping people make better decisions today. Hey, I wonder how much I'm going to enjoy powerfully assisting people in making better decisions today. What if that's what you said when your feet hit the floor? I wonder just how much I'm going to powerfully enjoy assisting people in making better decisions today. Anne says, I love it. Suzette says, yes, I am delivering here. It's like piloting a drone. Wonder. Yes, sir. Melia says, yes, sir. It's an empowering reframe. Magical and fascinating. I have more power and influence control than I think. Lisa Maloney, that is so true. Cannot wait to do this. Cannot wait to do this. Let's take some ahas. Who just got some ahas? So a hand raise if you have an aha you'd like to share. Hand raise if you'd like to share an aha. Who would like to share an aha of what you just got? Fabian raised his hand. Okay, Fabian, let me find you. Fabian, I'm going to find you. Fabian. Okay, Fabian, share your aha.
All right, can you hear me, Paul?
I hear you great.
All right, perfect. No, yeah, I just like the reframe of the decision service technician. You know, you're not showing up to work to try to cajole or bother people or whatever the situation is. It's just, hey, man, I'm here to help people make way better decisions because people are making a lot of crap decisions these days.
They surely are they not?
It goes back to what you say, like they don't trust themselves.
Right. People don't trust their own ability to make good decisions. Very good. Thank you for the share. Affluence team says, cannot wait to do this. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, let's get to it. Let me show you this word for word. You're going to love this. I love counterexamples. Here we go. Oh, here's one. Here's a good one. One prospect, one vote. There's no universal prospect-to-prospect rejection network. You ever had that come up in your mind? Uh-oh, if this person says no, they're all going to say no to me. There's no universal prospect-to-prospect rejection network. So remember, at election time, that prospect gets one vote. You never get rejected. That's an oldie but goodie. You only discover prospects who are just not yet able to see an incredible opportunity. And here's the final one, and then we're going to get to the meat and potatoes. You'll either enjoy getting what you claim or enjoy learning the skills to claim you claim to get what you joyously claim or better. Now let's dive right into it. Enough. By the way, never tell yourself you want something. I'm going to dive into something really good. So here, who would like to increase their motivation by a factor of 10? Who wants to increase their motivation by a factor of 10 just by one simple word hack? Pearl raised her hand. Who wants to increase their motivation by a factor of 10 by one word hack? Who wants to increase the number of appointments they set by a factor of 10 with one word hack? Let's say I'm exaggerating. Let's say you're only going to double your appointment setting and joyfully do it with one word hack. Here you go. Never want confidence. Notice when you say, I want confidence on calling bigger accounts, want implies separation and lack. Instead, use ownership language. I claim my confidence to call on my bigger accounts. Say it with me. Say it with me. I claim my confidence to call on my bigger accounts. Type it in the chat window. I claim my confidence to call on my bigger accounts. You own it. I claim my joy to powerfully make my outreach. Anna's got it. Michael's got it. George has got it. So I want confidence to call on the big money clients. I claim the confidence to call on the big money clients. I claim the confidence to call on my big money clients. And now let's add in adjectives and adverbs. So watch this. Everyone stay with me. Let's go through these. Joyously, eagerly, powerfully, naturally, powerful. Watch this. Everyone say this out loud with me. Are you ready? Say this out loud with me. One, two, three. I joyously and naturally claim my powerful confidence to easily call on my big money clients. I joyously and naturally claim my powerful confidence to easily make my outreach, my opportunity outreach to my prospects. I joyously and naturally claim my powerful confidence to easily call on my big money outreach. I know that's a mouthful, James, but it's a lot of good stuff. Okay, now let's dive into it. Counterexamples. I've got you all warmed up. Here we go with counterexamples. Let me take a swig of water. Give me a second. Hey, Riley, can I get a little more water, please? Cat sitter is here. All right, I'm about to show you counterexamples. These are going to blow your mind. Do we need a brain break? Are you guys ready to dive into counterexamples? Counterexamples, these are going to decimate objections. And I have five ways, again, that I teach to destroy objections. But counterexamples are far and away the most fun. Thank you, Riley. My throat is beginning to go raw. You don't need to write them down because you're going to get the replay. Here's the fireworks. So how do counterexamples work? Well, they're an example of what I call a pattern interrupt. One of the most useful, powerful things you can do is break rapport. This is counterintuitive. Everyone says you should keep rapport at all times, correct? How batshit crazy does it sound to you when I say no? There are times when you must break rapport. There are absolutely times when you need to break rapport and shock your client. So counterexamples are a pattern interrupt, and pattern interrupts create a mind stutter. They create a state of strong suggestibility. Effectively, what do? They wipe the objection clean. They give the prospect, the client, objection amnesia. Is that fair? Is it fair to give your client objection amnesia? I think it is, if they're getting in their own way. That's batshit crazy. And what they do is they create a state of hyper-suggestibility. Now, I've given you some other tools to great. Meg raised her hand. Meg, do you have a question, or are you just saying, yeah, it's fair? Meg, type in the chat window, do we need to talk, or are you just saying, yes, it's fair? Meg, do you have a question? Apparently not. Okay. Okay. So here we go. I need more time to think it over. All right. Let me ask you guys. When you hear the objection, the first objection we're going to deal with is, I need more time to think it over. Let's take some shares. Let's take some hand raises. When people say, I need more time to think it over, what typically is your response? Raise your hand and we'll take some shares. Let's take some shares. Raise your hand. What's typically your response? Fabian raised his hand. Only raise your hand if you've never studied with me before. So Fabian, you don't count. You've studied with me before. What typically is your response if people say, I need more time to think it over? You presented your opportunity, you presented your, so Jano raised their hand. So I'm going to go to Jano. Jano. Okay, Jano, what typically is your response when people say, I need more time to think it over?
Great. I'll get back with you.
Great. I'll get back with you. How well does that work?
It doesn't. That's why I'm sitting here listening to you.
It doesn't. It doesn't. That's really, really weak. It just That's the equivalent when you're dating and a guy asks for your number and you say, give me your number. I'll call you. Do you ever call him?
No.
No. Or give me your business card. I'll give you a call. No, you never call him. No, you never do that. Somebody else. D raised their hand. So let's go to D. Oop. I'm having fun now. Yes, D, what's your response? Wait a minute. Hold on. I tried to unmute you. Okay, D, you're unmuted. Don't touch your button. I'm going to unmute you. Huh. I'm trying to unmute you for some reason.
Can you hear me now? I hit my unmute button.
Yeah, okay. What's your response when someone says I need more time to think it over?
I'm more specific. I usually say I will get back to you tomorrow or I will get back to you in a couple days.
Mm-hmm. And how well does that work?
It works because I do. I follow up within that time period.
Okay. That's great. I'm not going to – here's my challenge with it. My challenge is oftentimes what happens is people get distracted or they talk themselves out of it. Mm-hmm. It may indeed work. It depends on how far you've gotten them along in the convincing process. But oftentimes what happens is people talk themselves out of decisions. I believe that left to their own momentum, people will default to what they're familiar with. They'll go back into their beliefs that they don't deserve it or it's too much money, et cetera, et cetera. So if it's working for you, great. Would you be willing to discover a way to make it work twice as good?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Good. I don't want you all to abandon what's working for you. I want you to turbocharge it. Let's see. A lot of people raising their hand. I love this. Let's see if I can see a list of who's raised their hands. Who else has raised their hand? Blah, 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 blah. Affluence team. So let's go to affluence team. Affluence team. Go for it, affluence team.
I am unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, boom it out. What do you say when people say, I need more time to think it over?
When would now be a good time to make a better choice?
When would now to be a good time to make a better choice? That's not bad. When would now be a good time to make a better choice?
And how do tell me how to make it better.
And how do they respond when you said that?
It's a 50-50.
50-50. How would you like to raise it to 80-20?
In a heartbeat.
Okay, I'm going to show you how to do that.
Awesome.
And you're going to laugh at how easy it is. Ed says, I try to schedule a follow-up meeting on the spot. This is great. This is great, and it's traditional selling. That's the problem. Yes, Safwat, go ahead. Safwat, you can talk. Turn up your mic. You're unmuted. Wait, let me unmute you. Okay, you're unmuted.
I didn't have anything. I just...
Oh, you didn't. Okay. All right. So I'm ready. Here we go. I'm going to share it. Are you guys ready? This is going to pop your scroggies. You're going to love this. Here we go. Drum roll, please. Have you ever taken a long time to think something over and it still turned out to be the wrong thing to do? Maybe it's not about time, but about the clarity you need to easily recognize you naturally want to move ahead today. Look at the beauty of that. Have you ever taken a long time to think something over and it still turned out to be the wrong thing to do? Boom. Boom, mother effers. Boom. Now, who can deny that? A counterexample is a universal experience that everyone has had. What just happened to the objection? What just happened to the objection? Dennis says, where do I sign? What just happened to the objection? You just obliterated it. Because very clearly blown away completely. You blew it away completely. Have you ever taken, they recalled their past mistakes. That's right. Do you see how, F word, that's genius. It is wrong now, it will be wrong tomorrow. And who can deny it? Everyone's experienced taking a long time to think it over, but there's something more clever here. That in and of itself is not the whole cleverness of it. Watch this. Here's the real cleverness of it. That was great, but watch this. Maybe it's not about time, but about the clarity you need to easily recognize you naturally want to move ahead today. And then you do that little head nod. So now you're reframing it. Because most of the time, look, most of the time, the reason people say they need to think it over is they're just not clear. They haven't seen the value to cost ratio. They don't see the net value in it. They don't yet clearly stop and see the net value of this, continue to see the net value of continuing this relationship. They haven't yet been able to stop and see yourself doing that. So now you're redefining it about clarity. When you redefine it about being clarity, well, now it's just presupposed that, yes, of course it's a good decision. They just have to get clear on it, and you're here there to help them. Does that make sense? Give me a boom in the chat window if you're loving this, if you can see yourself using this. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Alinka Z. Love that name. Boom, 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 boom. Gretchen, boom, 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 boom. Vaporized. It's a kill shot. It's an absolute kill shot. It's an absolute kill shot. And they will never have heard this before. They've heard all the objection killers. They've heard it before. Well, what would I have to answer in order for you to make a decision today? That's not bad. That's not bad. Traditional sales, well, what concerns would I need to clear up for you to make the decision to move ahead today? That's not bad, but they still may be stuck in that frame of wrestling with you. It's a one-shot kill. It's a one-shot kill. Do you think Paul is done delivering the value bombs? Do you think Paul is done delivering the value bombs? So, Hala, are you impressed? I'm not done. I got more value to offer. Bring on the nukes. Paul may have an A or H. Nothing's better than cats. You are a powerhouse, Paul. Thank you. Slapped. Okay, watch this. Let's go to the next one. The next example is, how about this one? Have you ever heard, I don't have the money? What? Cynthia says, if they go from call, I'm going to need some more amyloid. Great stuff here. Yes, all the time. Okay. All the time. Too often. Have you ever heard, I don't have the money? I just don't have the money. You ever hear that one? I don't have the money. Who's getting excited as they now recognize, I'm going to teach you how to get rid? Let's stop a minute. Let's stop a minute. Just let's take a minute. Take a breath. Let's take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. I want you to write down on a piece of paper what your current sales are a year. Just write it down on a piece of paper. Don't share it with me. Just write down what your current sales are. Write down the number. Don't share it with me. Just write down. If you don't know exactly, then you're not in business. If you don't know your numbers, you're not in business. No, make it a month. What's your average monthly sales? What's your average monthly sales? Commission, whatever it is. What's your average monthly commission check, your average monthly sales? However you want to put it. Write it down. Don't tell me. What is it a month? Just write it down. Write down the number. Write it down. Okay, now, check this out. How often have you let that objection, I don't have the money, lose you the sale? What if we can increase your sales by 10%? What's the number? So write down the number. What's 10% of your sales? And multiply it by 12. Multiply it by 12. And what's that number? So if your sales are $1,000 a month, and you increased it by 10%, that's $100 extra a month, times 12, that's $1,200. If you're in sales for 10 years, that's $12,000. Are you ready? I don't have the money. Watch this. This is going to blow that out of the water. What's your typical response? By the way, when let's have some shares. Hand raise. What's your typical response when people say, I don't have the money? Raise your hands. Let's get some hand raises and share with me. There's no wrong answers. I just want to help you learn. So raise your hand and tell me what your typical response is when people say they don't have the money. Can we get some hand raises? Going once? Going twice? Going three times? Sohaila. Okay, let's find Sohaila. Sohaila is an amazing human. I love Sohaila. Yes, Sohaila. You are unmuted.
Okay, am I here?
Yeah, you're here. What's your typical response when they say, I don't have the money?
I would say, when was the last time you went and bought something? And if they say, oh, I just bought something yesterday. Well, so we've established that you do have money.
I don't know about that, because they may have spent all the money on the thing that they bought.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you a D minus. How often has that worked for you?
Oh, no. I don't know. You're just asking. I thought you were just asking what you would say.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Yeah.
All right. Here it goes, ladies and gentlemen, after the drum roll. Here we go. You ready? Wait a minute. Here we go. How's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? Whoa. I don't have the money. How's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? Boom. What do you think about that? So you're presenting your network marketing opportunity. I don't have the money. Let me ask you a question, Dave. How's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? I just started World War III. Booyah. There's no answer to that. That just destroyed the objection. That stopped them in their tracks. How's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? Seems confrontational. Depends on how you say it. Michael, good point. If you say, well, how's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? But if you say, well, I hear you, Dave. Let me ask you a question. How's that going to change if you don't step up and invest in yourself? And sometimes you do have to be confrontational. It's going to blow the thing out of the water. Now, let's make it even sweeter. Watch this. You guys ready to multiply the power of this by a factor of 2 or 3? Bethy loves it. Hey, Bethy. I don't think I saw you on this so far. Ready to multiply it by a power of 2 or 3? You see how we stack things on top of things? We're going to be like Mike Tyson. Remember Tyson? Tyson would soften him up, and then he'd throw that left hook out of nowhere, and he would drop the bomb on him. Okay. Can you all see my video? For some reason, I can't see myself. Can you see my video? You can. We got you. Okay. Watch this. Here we go. Warren Buffett once said, once you find your vision, you can always find the money. Here we're using a pattern called quotes. We're going to put the suggestion, once you find your vision, you can always find the money. What's the suggestion? Find your vision, find the money. We're embedding two hypnotic suggestions. Find your vision, find the money. What if you'd said directly, look, Sam, find your vision and then you'll find the money? What if we'd said that directly? What would Sam have done to us? Sam would have flipped us the finger, right? Correct? Get out of my office. But we're embedding it inside a quotation from an authority. If we quoted Warren Buffett on basketball, Warren Buffett once said, the key to making a free throw is to relax your arm and keep your eye on the ball. Would anyone listen? No. When we quote Warren Buffett about money, people listen. When we quote Einstein about science, most people misquote Einstein, we listen. Warren Buffett once said, once you find your vision, you can always find the money. And what are we doing? So we're doing quotes and we're embedding these hypnotic suggestions. Find your vision, find the money. So watch this. Why don't we naturally look at this like the world's richest man and see how you truly can move forward? Why don't we look at this like the world's richest man and see how you truly can move forward? Now, this is wicked clever. When we say, look at this like the world's richest man, what are we doing? We're saying, in effect, imagine that you are Warren Buffett and you already have all this success. So, of course, if you're Warren Buffett, you have the money. You easily can find the money to step up and hire me as your attorney at $900 an hour. You easily can find the money to join my network marketing organization. Do you see how this works? You're getting them. Cynthia, once you find your vision, you can always find the money. I want to say that, guys, to you guys, too. I'm going to just use what I say. Once you find your vision of working with me, once you really stop and imagine the skill sets. Now I'm going to be self-serving, but I'm also going to serve you. I'm serious here. So think about this. I don't know what ways you can find your vision of what it'd be like. We've only been studying together 5 hours or so. So just imagine where you'd be a month from now, 90 days, enough of that. Why don't we look at this like the world's richest man and see how you can truly move forward? I love that. Lynn says, have you ever wanted a pair of truth? A pair of shoes. Ah, look at this one. Okay. Have you ever heard this one? I need to look at a few more opportunities, or I need to interview a few more people. I need to interview a few more people. Have you ever heard that one? I need to interview a few more people. Ooh, I have that. Dennis says, do I have one for prospects asking for reduced commissions? Okay, I'm going to do some live coaching. Who would like to get a taste of what it would be like to be in my Superstars Mastermind and get some live coaching? Who would like to get a taste of it for free right now? Who wants a taste? Who wants a taste, an example? Okay, here we go. So raise your hand. Who asked that question? Dennis. Raise your hand, Dennis, again. Dennis, raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to go to you, Dennis. Participants. Dennis, this is going to blow your mind. Okay, Dennis, can you hear me? I don't know why he's muted, but let's unmute him. Okay, Dennis, I've unmuted you. You may have muted yourself, so unmute yourself, please. Turn on your mic. I just unmuted you. Dennis, turn on your mic. Dennis, I can't hear you. Going once, going twice. Dennis, Okay, Dennis. For some reason, Dennis. All right, Dennis, I'm going to give you an answer. Dennis said, I don't want to pay a commission. Dennis said, do you have one for a prospect asking for reduced commissions? Here we go. Here's the answer. Bob, with the right agent, you're not paying a commission. You're investing in skills. Bob, with the right agent, you're not paying a commission. You're investing in skills. And you're not going to get the top quality skills at a bargain basement price. Wouldn't you agree? Look at that reframe. You're not paying with the right agent, with the best agent, pointing to yourself, with the best agent, you're not paying a commission. You're investing in skills. You like that? That is a perfect meaning reframe. Who likes that one? Excuse me, sneeze time.
Bazooka.
Jennifer says, wow. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeedy doody. Okay, moving on. I need to interview a few more people. Let's go to this one. Have you ever heard this one? I need to look at a few more opportunities. I need to interview a few more people. Watch this. Are you ready? Ready to blow this one out of the water? If you are a financial professional, a real estate broker, if you do network marketing, well, I need to look at a few more opportunities. Mortgages. Okay, Franken says mortgages. Right? You ready? And I've trained a lot of mortgage brokers. So, excuse me. You need to talk to me if you're a mortgage broker. Sorry. I've been on so long, my hair is growing. Here we go. I need to interview a few more people. Have you ever discovered that the more options you were presented with, the harder it became to make a good choice because it just made you more confused? Have you ever discovered that the more options you were presented with, the harder it became to make a good choice because it just made you more confused? Have you guys ever experienced that? That the more choices you had, the more options you had, the more confusing it became? Boom. All the time. All the time. Fire. I call that the mail. Yep. Here's how you get rid of it. Use the counterexample. Have you ever discovered that the more options you were presented with, the harder it became to make a good choice because it just made you more confused? Now watch this. Maybe it's not about more people, but about easily recognizing it's time to put down that burden and discover for yourself you've found the right one. Let's say that out loud together. Maybe it's not about more people, but about easily, what is the word easily? Come on, who wants an Amazon gift card? Who wants an Amazon gift card? What is that word easily? George Wood, you just won an Amazon gift card. George Wood, you're the winner. George Wood, please email Paul at speakerpaulross.com. Come on, I want to keep you guys involved. Stay involved, stay awake. I've been expending a lot of energy. We've been on 5.5 hours. Look at this. Come on. So, George, you know what to do. Maybe it's not about more people, but about easily recognizing it's time to put down that burden and discover for yourself you found the right one. See how clever that is? All right, so once again, I'm going to take off my glasses. We have come a long way together. We started this morning. I want you to stop a minute. Look at your understanding of selling now. Before you came into the room, before you began sharing this learning with me this morning, look where your understanding was half an hour before you came into this learning with me, before we began sharing this exploration together of the world of subtle selling, the batshit crazy world of subtle selling, Alice in Wonderland, topsy-turvy, inside out, words mean what I want them to mean world. Compare where you were in your understanding, not your skill set yet, because you haven't gotten the skill set yet, because frankly, you could be the kind of person, I mean this sincerely, you could be the kind of person who watches the replay, and the replay is going to be up for a while, not going to be up forever, but you could be the kind of person who watches it and goes, you know what, I'm a good learner, I'll climb these ropes on my own, I'll figure it out, when I get confused, I'll figure my own way through. You could be that kind of person, I acknowledge it, I get it, and I want you to think, where were you in terms of your understanding of sales yesterday and your understanding of sales in the 5.5 hours? Has it transformed for you? Has it transformed for you? So let me just ask, has it transformed for you? Has your understanding and your way of looking at sales transformed for you? Hell yes in the chat window. Now, I'm not saying can you do it, but has it transformed your way of looking at it? Like a ball lost in tall weeds in the glove. Yes. Moved and inspired me over time and space. Hell yes. Hell yeah. Transformed, I've learned. It's engaging our imagination. How many have felt, just, I'm not saying can you do it yet. I'm not saying can you go out and apply it yet. But have you seen a totally batshit crazy different way of looking at sales? Did I deliver on that bit? I want feedback as a teacher, because I've been ensconced in this for 30 years. I've been doing this for 30 years. And so it's not always easy for me. When I'm in person, see, this is, I have to admit that this has been a challenge for me. And I'll tell you transparently why this has been a challenge for me. And frankly, I'm not trying to bullshit you. I'm being sincere. I was a little worried about this. I talked to Adam, who's my right hand, who runs my business for me. I talked to Adam about this. I said, you know, when I teach face-to-face, because this is supposed to be a live event, and then the unfortunate events of the pandemic happened. When I teach face-to-face, I can see people's facial expressions. I can see if they're getting it. I can look and see the progressive understanding that they're building development. I can see those moments when the transformational light bulb goes off. I can't do that here, so it's much more of a challenge. That's why I'm inquiring of you. Can you feel that your understanding of how sales works has significantly been shifted? Affluence team says, under promise, over delivered. I just want to know if I did that part of the job. I'm not saying did I convey skill. Skill, frankly, is going to take either trial and error or mentorship. I'm serious about that. You can see, here's the advantage of what I teach and the disadvantage. The advantage is it is so profoundly different, so it makes it profoundly powerful. The disadvantage is it's pretty complex, and it really is not the kind of thing you can do trial and error on your own. Unless you're really great. I've had some good trial and error students who come back to me after one seminar and they've got it. But it's got advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is it is profoundly powerful. It's a batshit crazy way of looking at things, and it gets into other people in a very, very powerful way. The disadvantage is because it's so different, it requires a lot of either trial and error, or a lot of mentorship. And even with mentorship with me, it's going to take some trial and error. It's going to take kicking your ass. So expect, if you do, and I don't pressure people, it's up to you. If you do decide to keep learning with me, you're going to get some ass kicking along with a hand holding.